Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman, and I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. This is the Old Testament poetry class, and today we'll be looking at Psalm 3. Psalm 3, so if you'll be so kind as to turn there, we will get started with the lesson, which is entitled, In Troubling Times. While you're turning there, I'd like to welcome everybody to our classroom, and we pray, and our purpose is for you to be blessed, that you will be able to be a blessing to others. Psalm 3. Wait for everybody to get there, please. Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many are they which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his infallible word. The memory verse will be Psalm 3, verse 3 for the class. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. Now, the first two psalms are the prologue of the entire book of Psalms. The third psalm takes its title from the first line of the psalm, as do some others in this collection. These are not chapters, as somebody who's not familiar with this. These are not chapters, but they are separate psalms or poetry or poetry set to music. Usually the first verse or part of the first verse is considered the title. So, in the Hebrew Bible, the title is the first verse, giving the Hebrew Psalm 3 9 verses instead of our English version of 8. The psalm can be divided into 3 parts according to the placement of the word Selah. Most authorities, however, divide the psalm into 4 parts, basically 2 of our verses each, following the natural change of subject matter every 2 verses. Verses 1 and 2 then go together by showing the increased troubles of King David. Verses 3 and 4 go together showing God's mercy in answered prayer. Verses 5 and 6 show the secure protection of God to those who trust Him. Verses 7 and 8 close the psalm with one final request for God's salvation from the enemies of the faithful. The entire psalm is metered so that it can be sung. The original King James Bible was also similarly metered out so that the psalms, all of them, could be set to music. The fact that King David had musical instruments accompany the singing gives us the idea that the use of musical instruments can be biblically used in our singing today. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. The Islamic religion, and there is so much wrong with that, the Islamic religion does not permit singing in their worship services, which is contrary to the Old Testament examples given, as well as the New Testament giving its approval of the singing of psalms and spiritual songs. Hebrew poetry isn't set up like English poetry in that it has similar sounding words at the end of each line, making it sound a rhyming sound, but rather the cadence in Hebrew, the cadence of the wording, along with similar thoughts given, are considered poetic. The word selah, S-E-L-A-H, is transliterated from the Hebrew, being that there probably is no one word equivalent. At least that was considered true back during the times of translation. The word selah found three times in this psalm, and occurring 74 times total in the whole book of Psalms, as well as several times in the book of Habakkuk, its poetry, and nowhere else. Seems to have questionable meaning. Basically, it can be said fairly confidently that it is a musical term that ends a thought. The thought pattern would probably be considered like a stanza in English. Basically, it can be said fairly confidently that it is a musical term. So, almost always, the next strophe of poetry will have a change in direction or thought. This has led to the idea that the selah is there to pause, for the person to pause in either reading or singing before going on. We are to contemplate what was just said. The final selah, as in our example today, Psalm 3, appears right at the end. So, we are not to leave the psalm behind without thinking about its content. More or less, quote, think on these things, end quote, would be a good understanding of the word selah. Think on these things. Now, this is a morning song to be sung at the start of the day. It prays for victory over problems and troubles, as well as praises God for victories through Him. Probably one of the best non-biblical morning songs still sung is titled When Morning Gilds the Skies. Anybody familiar with that? No? It was one of the first songs I learned in church. Seems to be not sung as much as it used to be. Anyways, it let me give you a short quote so you can see what a morning song sounds like. When morning gilds the skies, my heart awakening cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. Alike at work and prayer, to Jesus I repair. May Jesus Christ be praised. In heaven's eternal bliss, the loveliest strain is this. May Jesus Christ be praised. Let earth and sea and sky, from depth to height reply. May Jesus Christ be praised. Amen. Nobody ever heard this song before? That's sad because it's a great song. It's an old one, but not ancient. Psalm 3 starts with the title, quote, "A Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son," end quote. Now this title sadly refers back to 2 Samuel chapter 15, when King David's adult son and heir to the throne decided that he would take the throne from his father by force. He did this by sweet-talking the people into thinking he was a great guy, a great leader, greater than his father. The sins and faults of his father were dragged out into the open in an attempt to make him look bad and for Absalom to look good. This included David's adulterous sins with Bathsheba and King David having her husband killed on purpose on the battlefield, all of which labeled King David a flawed an unrighteous individual in the sight of the general public. Even though David had repented and got right with God, according to Psalm 51, the whole thing was not forgotten by those who hated him and sought to have him destroyed. Must be remembered that all sin has ramifications, as the law of reaping what a person sows dictates. David protected his son from death, being sure no one harmed him according to his own orders, his own commands, that no one harm Absalom. Excuse me. Even though legally his son could have been condemned to death for his rebellion, as well as for breaking the commandment of not honoring his father and mother. As a result of this uprising, David had to flee the capital city of Jerusalem, taking only a few faithful soldiers with him. Actually, as he crossed the brook Kedron, capital K-E-D-R-O-N, as he crossed the brook Kedron to get away, an old man came out and embarrassed him even further by cursing him to his face. That was adding insult to injury, so to speak, and should have not happened, since we are to respect God-appointed leaders. We know David was approved and appointed as king of Israel by his being anointed as such by God's prophet Samuel. But Absalom never was. Absalom was only attempting to be self-appointed. We need to avoid people who self-appoint themselves for prestige or importance. All cults follow self-appointed leaders in some way. All too often, a person will step to the forefront to take up the mantle of leadership who do it out of pride, greed, and ambitious self-exaltation. Or in other words, they do it for all the wrong reasons. A good Christian leader will have none of those motivations, but instead display the opposite characteristics. Let's look at the first two verses, verses 1 and 2. Quote, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many are there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. King David exclaims in the first verse of how amazingly many foes have multiplied, not just added up, but multiplied to rise up against him. Even those who were not openly against him were saying that God had not only given up on him, but abandoned him completely. To the public eye, God was nowhere to be found as far as David was concerned. The thought was that if God was for David, David wouldn't be going through all this mess. So they abandoned him. All the people saw was his disgrace and ridicule, thanks to his son's propaganda. Now, it was a time when even King David's advisors abandoned him. David only had a few followers in comparison to that of his popular son. Selah, think how you would feel if suddenly a family member sought to take all you had and destroy you. Selah, indeed. Verses 3 and 4. Quote, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. End quote. Now, thankfully, David turns his attention away from himself and his problems and turns to God. But thou, O Lord, in order to have the shield around about you, you must turn to the Lord. He must be Lord of your life and not just a companion. He isn't just there for when you are in trouble or need something. He is to be Lord indeed. God will not permit himself to be manipulated or used for selfish reasons. Some people just don't understand that. God will not permit himself to be manipulated or used for selfish reasons. Some people think if they say or do something, God has to do something. So they think they can manipulate God. So if you and your cause are righteous, God is on your side, as David so testifies here. God is our glory. We are not to glory in earthly things such as what we possess or our successes, but rather in the one who gives us all these things. To be sure, it is a sign that you belong to God if you glorify him and not yourself. King David glorified God and praising him for answered prayer. That's important. Do you do that? Verses 5 and 6, quote, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. That's an important thought. The Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. End quote. Even in deep dark troubles, deep in over his head, dark, you can't see the light of day, you can't see the end of the tunnel. Even in deep, dark troubles, David was able to rest in the Lord. In prayer, we are to leave our problems there at the throne of grace. King David later expressed it in this way in Psalm 127, verse 2. Quote, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he, that is God, giveth his beloved sleep." End quote. If you are still trying to hang on to your problems after prayer, then you really haven't given them to God. Now have you? Selah. Verses 7 and 8. "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." Selah. End quote. Here, King David alludes to those who have made themselves his enemy. Some for no real reason. He alludes to them as being wild animals that have their main weapon being their mouth. A wild predator has sharp teeth that are used as weapons to destroy and devour. Here King David points out that God has soundly struck these rebellious ones that have aligned themselves in battle against him and God's kingdom and has broken out their teeth. The enemy is the one now helpless and can do him no harm. We likewise have victory over the world and the devil through trust and obedience. We trust him, not our own strength. Now the dragon has lost his deadly sting in his tail, and the serpent's head has been crushed at Calvary. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and only he can eternally save in troubling times. As we find out in our reading of the Old Testament, King David did indeed have the victory. This, in the big picture, is an illustration of the devil trying to usurp Christ's lordship and have his corrupt world order supersede God's holy kingdom. It is really the battle of the ages that we're looking at here. It is the battle of the ages that ends in victory for God, his Christ, and his glorious bride, as clearly depicted in the book of Revelation. It is he, that is God, that blesses us and not we ourselves. For this, we are given songs in the heart that we harmonize with our loving Redeemer, as pictured in the Song of Songs. He sings a blessing to us, and we reply with joyful praises throughout our pilgrimage together. Selah. Let's close this lesson with a word of prayer, and we'll have Q&A, questions and answers, afterwards for those who have questions. Let's bow before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for this psalm and what it's telling us, that you are our shield around about us, and that there is nothing that can get through the shield that will really hurt us, and that we can rely upon Thee, that You bring things into our lives for our own good, and we are to look to Thee for the blessings through it all. Thank Thee that You are there for us in troubling times. Thank Thee, Lord, for loving us and sending Thy Son to die upon the cross for our sakes. Pray also that You'll be with us, that we seek to serve Thee out of thanksgiving and give Thee the glory, as it states here in the psalm. Give You the glory for all these things, everything that we have, and that You lift our heads up, that we need not be ashamed. And we pray that You'll fill us with Thy Holy Spirit, guide and direct us, teach us, Lord, obedience, and to love Thee more and more each day. Pray that You'll be with us as we testify of Thee to others through what we say and do. We ask now that You'll bless this lesson, and that You'll be with the words, that Your word will be exalted, Your name will be placed above every name, and that we will serve Thee as we should. We pray these things now with thanksgiving to Thee, O our Father, through the lovely name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.